Wonderful. So welcome to the call. Congratulations for making it to the end of the year. 2014, I was almost just going to say 2013 now, because this year has gone so fast. I don't know about you, but it's certainly disappeared for me. I remember this time last year having all these, thinking about all these New Year's upgrades for 2014, and it literally seems like a month ago I was thinking about that. And I always find that January is normally slow. Feels like I've got a control on what's going on here, although I'm never in control, but there's a sense that things are actually moving along nicely. And then February comes and it's all good. And then Valentine's Day comes. You know, there's these events, social events in the year that stand out. And then my birthday's in March. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 it all seems to disappear. So, I don't know if that's been your experience, but I spoke to a lot of people and it seems very common that things are certainly speeding up. So we can look back on our year this year and really have a good look at ourselves and see what has been working and what hasn't been working. The main benefit of looking back, we should never really just look at our past and, you know, beat ourselves up about the past. So just thinking about the past often is a waste of time. But the benefit of it, especially at the end of the year, is that you can actually see what you have done in this last 12 months. So what actually have you done in the last 12 months? If you compare your life a year ago, where were you a year ago? What were you thinking, what were you doing 1 year ago? This is Christmas Eve. What were you doing on Christmas Eve last year? And if you listen to this audio again, you can do these same exercises whenever you listen to it, any time of the year. But we can look at the last year. What was different then? And if you bring yourself back to the present moment right now, what is different now? What is different between a year ago and now? Just feel this. Feel this energy. Feel the difference. What is it? What practical things are different? What feeling states are different? What information or consciousness, awarenesses do you have that you didn't have last year? How's your health compared to last year? Look at the difference between last year and this year. Because the intention of this call today, basically, is the perfect time for you to go deep. So I'm going to encourage everyone listening right now to get your pen and paper out. Your pen, remember, is your magic wand. What you bring down through the pen onto the paper is bringing spirit into form. It's commanding reality through writing. Yeah, bringing non-physical ideas into form through the pen on the page. So we're going to do a few easy but extremely powerful little exercises to help you really take advantage of everything you've learned over the last year and what's going to be different in this next year, because you can create anything you want This world is designed, there's so many things set up now that you can basically pretty much create anything you want in a year. You know, the amount of people here, the amount of opportunities, the rules are changing, things that didn't weren't possible before now are possible because people are less uptight. Everything's so crazy that things that would normally take a long time and be a hassle, people are more willing to say, okay, screw it, let's just do this differently now. Yeah, everything's so fast that people are willing to do things differently, which means for you that you can attract people and situations into your life that may never have been possible at any other time in history up till now. And it's getting more and more this way. So miracles and bizarre events and huge shifts are more than ever possible. Yeah, especially with the internet and the access to basically everyone in the world on your phone. You know, so that's the kind of world we're living in. So let's take this as an opportunity to really go deep and shift things. So the first thing I want to talk about is that overall, and I've worked with lots of clients and people and talked about this a lot already. You might have heard me talk about this before, but overall, in a year, most people are going to waste at least 3 months of their year, at least 3 months of the year, are spent in random things that were not enjoyable, that did not lead to a result. Yeah? 3 months a year, it's a long time. Yeah? 3 months out of the year, in nearly every case I've come across, including myself, 3 months a year is wasted. Unless we are very conscious of what we're doing, in which case we can reduce that. So if you just take that on for a moment, that knowledge, that overall, most people, at least 3 months of their year is spent in wasting time having pointless conversations with people or starting projects and not finishing them or, you know, working too hard when they didn't need to or spending time on YouTube or Facebook or email, yeah? A lot of people in America are spending, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day watching television. I'm sure that isn't your situation. Maybe watching movies that weren't particularly inspiring. Yeah, maybe you've been working on a project you don't really like, you're not going to do it anymore. Yeah, there's many, many, many ways. And, you know, if I was speaking to you one-on-one and you're here right now, I could go through your whole year with you in detail. We find 3 months, roughly. So let's take time right now to do that. Just have a look at where you've spent time this last year that hasn't been fruitful, has been pointless, has been draining, hasn't got a result. And this isn't, don't guilt trip yourself about it. Don't think you're a terrible person. Don't think there's something wrong with you. You're not a superhero. Just forget all that. This is just being loving. It's a sign of love to yourself, because if you can spot those things now, you can avoid them, and you can not only avoid that happening next year, you can replace those things with really cool things that you actually do enjoy. Yeah? So you can claim back your life. So let's spend the next few minutes, yeah, take about 5 minutes for you to write down the things that you did last year that you didn't enjoy, that didn't get a result. I'll give you a funny example. I had a client recently who I did this exercise with, and I got her to literally write it all down. She came back with this printed out piece of paper with outlines. She did a really good job, really detailed, right? And the thing that I found really funny on her list was that she'd spent 39 hours, I don't know, I mean, literally 39 hours, I remember the number, going on ice cream missions, yeah, where she'd kind of like feel like she had to just jump in the car and like score some really good ice cream for herself, yeah, so she'd cruise around only to buy ice cream. And when she was out shopping normally she'd never bought ice cream, but then she'd crack and say, I've got to have ice cream, and she'd get in the car and she'd cruise off, right? And I said, well, why don't you just buy ice cream normally if you're going to eat it? Why don't you just like buy loads of it, get a separate fridge and stick it in there, save you time, you know, what's the point? But, you know, it's one of those kind of dark side addiction things that she wasn't willing to admit she had an ice cream habit. So she went unconscious and would drive around buying ice cream. That's one example, but there's hundreds of things like this, right? So let's just think of all the funny or not so funny examples where we're wasting time. So just take pen and paper. It's going to be very rewarding and somewhat revealing to do this. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes for you just to write down all the things that you've done in the last year that were a waste of time and energy, were not fruitful. And these could be things like spending time with people who you don't feel are really inspiring you. Could be random entertainment that leaves you feeling drained. Could be working too much, too hard when it's not getting a result and you don't like it. Could be thinking about stuff too much and there's no need. Could be trying to do stuff you're really bad at doing rather than asking someone to help you. You could do it really easily and quickly. Sometimes people go on vacation places that they don't like being there and they could have been a better place. Whatever it is, you know, there's so many varieties of experience that we have. So I'm going to give you one more minute just to write down any last things that come up. These are things you don't enjoy that are wasting your time, draining your life. Yeah? So we want to clear that out of the way. Yeah? Start the new year. If you just reduce the stress, if you just reduce the nonsense out of your life, you immediately feel better without you actually doing anything else. A lot of the time, people are worrying about how to pack their lives with all these things, try and make themselves feel better, when in reality, we're already great. You know, you are already happy, lovely, beautiful, powerful, joyful being. Anyway, it's all the stuff that's suppressing your happiness. It's the extra stuff that's cluttering up our life and draining our energy. That's the problem, yeah? When you get rid of stuff, then you naturally feel good anyway, yeah? So we need to, consumerism has brainwashed us into thinking that buying things and having things is the solution to our unhappiness. But the truth is that the solution to unhappiness is to clear out things, to have less, clear out everything that is in the way of our happiness, yeah? So it's completely the opposite. It's a 180-degree shift in consciousness. So the more you clear out, the more happy and the more joyful you'll be, yeah, without adding anything. Alright, so I'm going to let you just finish that off. Anything last things come up that you can clear out of your life to liberate yourself? People, situations, projects.
Yeah.
People, possessions, projects, places. Alright, next, let's open our heart and mind and soul to your vision. Let's just hold this golden vision, this golden light around 2015. Where and what would you love to be doing? What would you love to be doing? Where would you love to be doing it? With who would you love to be enjoying your life in this next year? Imagine you're a year in the future. Imagine you could time travel into the future, and there is your highest destiny waiting for you right now in 2015, Christmas Eve, a year from now. So open your heart and mind. What would you love to be feeling? Where would you love to be living? Who would you love to be connecting with? Just project your awareness there and just write down whatever comes. Write it down. Allow yourself to dream. Allow yourself to dream big. And what things do you enjoy doing? What does your life feel like and look like? What things do you actually love to do for their own sake that you spend your time doing? Things that you enjoy because you enjoy doing them, not because they get something, but you just like doing them. What do you just really enjoy doing? If you could spend all your day doing things just for fun, what would you be doing? Just project your consciousness out to living your Dharma, loving your life. How are you serving? Just write down the main things that come up for you. I'll give you one more minute, 60 seconds, just to write down any details that come. Remember, visions are premonitions. Yeah? Your future reality already exists. Your higher self has already experienced it. So you're getting glimpses of what is possible, what exists on an inside of you actually already, but it just hasn't had its moment of time yet. Visions are premonitions of real things that are yet to come. Alright, so we finish that off. So you should have, if you've been doing this, then I recommend that you do, because it's your life we're talking about here, you know. If you want to have a better year, then this is how to do it. So you should have already what you did in 2013 was not working out for you. You know where you want to be in 2015. You know what didn't work last year. You know where you want to be this next year. Last question is, what are you very happy about in this last year? What are the things that you did do that worked out really, really well? Yeah, because you want to do more of that. So in this last 12 months, if you look back, what are the things that you enjoyed doing? Just tune into this question. What are the things that you enjoyed doing and they got you a result? They improved your life on some level, whether you made you feel better physically, whether they made you more abundant, whether they helped you be more free. So what did you enjoy doing that also improved the quality of your life or your work? What are the gifts of 2014? What are the gifts of the last 12 months for you? So just take you another minute to write down the gifts, the blessings, the things that you've done or things that have happened. You know, for me, for example, this last year, one of the things that I did was wrote a lot, you know, and got a bunch of books that are coming out. And I enjoyed doing it, and they'll help a lot of people. So if any of you, by the way, want any of my books, Superheroes, I'm happy to give you free copies of my books. You just have to email me. It's I've got a special email address for this. reviewbook@michaelmcintosh.com. reviewbook@michaelmcintosh.com. And if for any reason that doesn't work, or you forget it, then just send an email to the normal email address that you normally email, and we'll get you a copy. Just tell me which books you want. You can find them on Amazon. And I'll, if you want to buy them, but I'm happy to give them to you. So, what are the things for you that have been your gifts? Just finish off writing that down so that we will now have what didn't work, what did work, and where you want to go. We're bringing clarity. We're bringing absolute clarity to your life. We're seeing patterns. We're seeing patterns. What's going on really? Most people don't look at their lives. Most people don't see what they're doing. Yeah? Most things are unconscious. So what you're doing is you're seeing yourself. You're revealing, you're being honest, you're being humble, you're being open. You're saying, you know what? This stuff doesn't work. Gotta go. That stuff is awesome. Need to do more of that. And I'm open to magic. I'm open to wonder. I'm open to miracles. Alright, So have a look at your piece of paper. You will now have, if you've been doing this, what didn't work last year, what did work last year, and where you want to go. Now, let's talk about something else that's going to help you create these things in 2015. So there's a little bit of clarity that you may or may not have already. Hopefully you have. If you don't, then this is going to be a big upgrade for you. Right now I'm looking at beehives. Okay, I've got bees. Right down here there's about 30,000 bees going in and out of this hive, right? And if I was to take one of these bees, yeah, grab a bee, and put it in a jar or something and then take it somewhere else, so it doesn't know where it is, and let it out, so it's by itself and it doesn't know where it is, and it's lost lost access to its community, its hive, yeah? If I took one bee, took it on a drive, yeah, like 20 miles away, let it out, and it would fly off, right? What would happen to that bee? Yeah, it can go to flowers, it should be alright, shouldn't it? It can still knows what a flower is, should be able to eat the flower and be okay. Well, it wouldn't be okay, it would die pretty quickly, because the bee is part of its community. It's part of the emergent structures that create the bee reality. Yeah? Bees are not individual beings, they're group beings. They have like a one consciousness somehow. It's a bit strange. Same with ants, ant colonies. Yeah? Take one ant out by himself, they're not doing very well. But when they all work together, it's amazing what they manage to do. You know, I see ants picking up these huge things and wandering around on my kitchen counter sometimes. I'm quite impressed by the ants, you know. And the bees, yeah, amazing creatures. But they can't do it by themselves. So the wealth of the bees community, which is its honey and its whole system, the wealth of the beehive is what's called an emergent property. Emergent property. You might want to write that down. Emerging, yeah? So if everyone works together nicely, what emerges, what appears, is wealth for everyone, right? Now, if you want your dreams in 2015 to actually come true and not just be a dream, then your life needs to be a bit like a beehive, in the sense that there are certain things, specific things that you can do, and if you do them all, what will emerge from the top of that is wealth, happiness, joy, and freedom for you. Yeah? If you do specific things this next year, what will emerge is everything you want. But if you don't do those specific things, then what will emerge is basically the same sort of stuff you've been dealing with already. Yeah? So if you already have the best life ever and you couldn't be any better, then you just carry on doing what you've been doing. Yeah? If everything's perfect for you, then just do more of that. Yeah? So there's nothing, you're already doing it, so good for you. Yeah? You're one of the elite people who's figured it all out. But if there's stuff that isn't working for you and you want higher experiences, then there are new things, and if you do very specific actions, you have systems set up in your life, like the bees. Some of the bees are worker bees, some of the bees are drones, there's the queen bee, yeah? And they all work together doing different things. Your life, there are, if you do certain things, like, for example, classic example, meditation. Yeah, everyone says, I want higher consciousness, I want to be more in joy, I want to have more bliss. Yeah. So then I say, well, have you done any real meditation? And people are like, well, you know, once a week, blah, blah, blah. I meditate when I'm walking in the garden. And I'm like, yeah, that's wonderful. But if you want to, have a higher consciousness and actually experience bliss and like, feel free from all the cravings and all the desires and like that kind of like monster, then if you do more meditation, you have more spiritual power, then you'll shift everything massively, yeah? But if you don't do it, then it's not going to work. Yeah, same thing. People say, I want better health. And it's like, well, are you willing to do any, eat differently and do some movements, exercises? No, I'm not going to do it. All right, well, then you're not going to get healthy. You know, people say, I want to stop feeling so depressed. Like, well, are you willing to do what you love? And are you willing to stop thinking negative thoughts all the time? Yeah, so this might sound really obvious, but hardly anyone changes their life. Yeah, you're a superhero, so we have very, very high hopes in you, and we know you can do it. So what are the emergent structures? What are the things specifically to you that if you do them, the quality of your life in 2015 is going to get way better? Yeah, what's the massive upgrade for you? What do you enjoy doing that also gives you huge benefits? Yeah. For example, I love being in nature. I also love meditation. So going into nature and doing meditation, I enjoy actually doing it anyway, yeah, for its own sake, and it also is extremely powerful for me. Yeah, but if I don't do it, then I don't feel as good. Yeah, I also like doing these calls. Yeah, I do more of these calls actually because I enjoy them. I also like writing. I like basically like pretty much everything in my life because I figure this stuff out. Yeah, that's how I'm where I am because I know what I like. I know what works, and I spend my time doing those things. And the more I do it, the better it gets. The less I do it, the more it's drifting and pointless. So what are the specific things for you that you love to do that also create wealth on all levels, like a beehive? What are the specific things in your life that if you do them, what comes from that, all those things together, is your dreams? Just write down whatever comes to mind, and I'm happy to take questions. Because any of this isn't clear to you, we can talk about it. But just write down whatever comes to your mind. So if anyone has any questions, press star 2 and I will unmute you. While you're writing down, and feel free, and literally, you know, I'm not going to give you a hard time or anything. If you have any questions about this or anything, let me know. But just want to mention something else while you're thinking about this. And this is one of those unfortunate, maybe it's fortunate, maybe it's unfortunate, maybe it's what it is. One of those things in our human existence that's a little bit annoying, right? I don't know if you've witnessed this. When I was about 16 or 17, and I spent my whole time getting stoned and making music, hanging out with my friends. I remember one of my friends said to me, he said, he's a rapper, you know, you can check his stuff out actually in England. But anyway, he said, why is it that all the stuff that I like eating and I like doing is all bad for me? Yeah? He said it's really annoying. So he's sitting there with like a joint in his hand, drinking a can of Coke, eating some junk food, yeah, and he's like having some like munchies, yeah. He's like standing there with all this stuff. And he's like, why is it all this stuff I really enjoy bad for my health? Yeah. I thought it was really, I didn't have an answer for it. I was just astounded by the question. I was like, yeah, you know what, that is really weird. Why is it that everything that we like, not everything, but most things that we enjoy turn out to be bad for us, yeah? Yeah, like for example, watching movies or television or spacing out, getting stoned, getting high, getting drunk, doing drugs, yeah? All these things are pleasurable, but they often leave us feeling bad afterwards, yeah? So if I was to pursue all of my lower desires for pleasure, yeah, I would be having loads of affairs, loads of, you know, drinking, doing drugs, yeah? All these desires that bring us physical pleasure. But they wouldn't bring me... They wouldn't create my dream life, yeah? I'd end up just sitting around on the couch, flipping through the channels, drinking beers and whatnot, yeah? That's not a particularly inspiring, happy life, but it's pleasurable a little bit in the moment. So one of the things we need to be aware of is that part of the paradox, part of the challenge that we all have, is that there are many things that we enjoy doing, that we might be addicted to, that sabotage us. And there are also other things that we don't particularly like doing that happen to be very, very, very positive. Yeah? Like case in point, Ariel, my partner, she does yoga every day, right? I don't particularly like doing yoga all seven days. Yoga is not like my favorite thing to do. I don't enjoy doing it. I feel good after I do yoga, but I don't enjoy doing yoga. Yeah, sometimes I do a little bit, but overall I'm like, I'd rather do something else. I like playing basketball and I like walking in nature, but I don't particularly like doing all these stretches. She actually likes doing it, so she has a much easier time getting on the mat than I do, yes? She has to sort of coerce me to do it a little bit. No, it's good for me, but it's not my favorite thing. So some of the things that you're going to have to do to create the life you want, you won't enjoy doing in the moment, but you'll feel good that you did them later. When you go to bed at night, you'll go to sleep and you'll say, even though I didn't particularly enjoy, you know, doing that yoga class or, you know, finishing that project or whatever, I'm glad I did it because I feel better, yeah? So, not everything that we need to do to create the life we want is pleasurable. But it brings us happiness later, satisfaction later, but it won't bring us pleasure in the moment. So I just want you to write down, what are all the things that you actually don't like doing at all in the moment that turn out to be very, very, very positive afterwards? Yeah? Like, I don't know, if you love doing exercise for its own sake, then you're blessed. It's good for you. So you want to just write those things down. It's very, very useful for you to know what things do you have resistance to doing that turn out to be really, really good for you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything that was good for us also brought us pleasure and was easy to do? Yeah? It's backwards. Yeah? Isn't that interesting? I don't know if you thought about this or find this fascinating. I find these things very, very fascinating. how is it that it's all backwards? The stuff that most of the things that actually create a wonderful, wonderful life are hard to do and are not especially pleasurable to do either, but feel good afterwards. And why is it that the things that are the most sabotaging, destructive for us, are easy to do and pleasurable? Yeah, isn't that interesting? That is probably because it separates the real deal superheroes from everyone else, because superheroes are willing to do something challenging that is actually good for them, whereas the majority of people will just go for the pleasure that's easy, yeah? So if you want to go for the pleasurable, easy things, then you know, join the masses. That's what everyone does, you know? You just eat yourself till you're fat and sick, you know, sit around not doing anything all day long, get addicted to drugs, entertainment, and sex. Great, do you know what I mean? Hooray, welcome to the, you know, consumer culture, yeah? But to go against that and actually create an awesome life where you're healthy, wealthy, happy, and liberated, yeah? What creates that are doing things that are not instantly pleasurable, that are not immediately easy to do either, yeah? So for example, if it's cold in the morning, great, in, yeah, winter time, it's cold, and you wake up early in the morning to do meditation, and your bed is so nice and cozy and warm, and it's all lovely and yummy, and your alarm goes off, yeah? The thing that's going to ultimately bring you the most joy is to get out of bed and do your meditation, do your yoga, do your practices, you know, get clear on the day. You'll feel great after you've done that. You know, you go to bed at night thinking that's wonderful. But in the moment, sleep is calling you, your duvet cover, you know, your warm bed is like, ah, yummy, 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 yeah? So that's the easy and pleasurable thing to do, but it also is something that you'll later on in the day, you'll say, damn, I wish I got out of bed, because now I feel like I'm running around late, stressed, haven't done my meditation. Yeah? So just realize this is one of those unfortunate or fortunate things that if you're willing to do stuff that's a little bit challenging and not immediately pleasurable, you can have an amazing life. But if you're following pleasure and easy, then you're going to have a mediocre life at best. So I recommend doing as many things that you actually enjoy that are easy and good for you as you can. Because there are some things that are fun to do and good for you. There are some. But there are also a large amount of things that you don't like to do that are good for you, yeah? But after a while, you start, they easier to do and they become more enjoyable. So, to create the life you want in 2015, what are you going to have to do different? What specific things are going to lead, create that new reality for you? And normally, you know, it's actually pretty straightforward. It's just look after yourself, your spiritual state and your physical state, spiritual, mental, emotional. It's not that hard to do. We've given you tons of practices and superhero training. And then, implement the things in your life and in your business. Yeah, make the time for those specific actions and just get on with it, even if you're having resistance. And you'll create amazing stuff. It's not actually that difficult. But the commitment and the knowingness is what makes the difference, yeah? You need to know what to do and then make a commitment to yourself. So does anyone have any questions about this? I just want to make sure that you feel clear. You can let's start you on your phone. We have a lot of people on the call, so feel free. There we go. Hello there.
Hi, Michael. It's Rachel.
Oh, Rachel. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yay.
I just have a little question for you. So for someone like yourself who's gotten, you've done a lot of writing this year, you guys are obviously, you know, doing videos and doing so well with the coaching. And when we're thinking about setting up scheduling, I've got a ton of stuff that I have kind of on the docket to get done. And just kind of in your opinion, how do you set up your schedule? Do you focus on one thing per day or do you break up your day? Like, how do you really get it so that you're getting everything done?
Good question. Yeah, so I'll give you a few options, right? I have tried different things, and you know, everyone has their own method. So one way of doing it is that you have very clear times where you say, you know, between, you know, 8 and 10, I'm going to be doing this particular thing every day, like 6 days a week, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, or whatever. And then, you know, between, you know, like, 12 and 2, I'm going to do this thing. And you have time slots like that. They're like fixed. Yeah? Some people, that's what they need. Otherwise, they don't do anything. Right? And it's like the same sort of thing every day. That's good if it works for you. I've personally found that that's a bit too rigid for me. So the only thing I schedule is coaching stuff. You know, like appointments, meetings. I have to talk to someone, like stuff like this call is scheduled, otherwise I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't know when it was. Where I do it nowadays is I think, what's the big stuff? What's the big things that I need to do, like in a week? Yeah, so I base it on a week. So for example, let's say I'm creating a course. I'll say, all right, I'm just going to write scripts for videos and audios and things the whole week. Just totally go for it. Because it's one focus. Or I'll just shoot film. Or I'll just organize. I actually spent the majority of the last 6 months this year organizing my digital life. Now that might sound a tad excessive, but there was a lot of stuff that got created over the years. Because for me, if I'm going to get into anything, whether it's whatever it is, recording, dealing with people, traveling, you know, organizing stuff, I need to give it some proper attention. Otherwise, if I spend 2 hours and I do something, then I'm like, okay, glass of water, and now I'm doing a completely different thing. And then it's just all over the place. Yeah, there's no... I find that the power comes when I build on one thing and just totally go for it. And then it's done, finished, and I can kind of tick that off. It's a big project. Boom. What's next? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think I've been trying to do it the other way, where it's like, okay, 2 hours here, 2 hours here, focus on this, and then I just feel like I don't get anything done. Because it's so random, right? So I like that idea of just focusing on one big project, get it done, and then be done with it.
Harder to do that, honestly, because the addict that likes variety. I'm definitely a variety kind of person. I like lots of variety.
Mm-hmm.
To my detriment, yeah. But so I've had to force myself to stay on point. But once I get into it, then I get really, really, really excited about it, and then it's easy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like creating momentum, yeah? It's like a snowball effect. Once it starts off small, it might stop, and you start it again, it stops. Then after a while, it kind of has its own power.
Mm-hmm.
And even doing things, I've been attempting attempting another method as well, because I like to experiment with these things, see which one works, because I keep changing myself and how what works is different. I've tried doing like one big thing per day, you know, like Mondays are this kind of day, Tuesdays are this sort of day, Wednesdays are this sort of day. But I'm having a hard time with that.
Okay.
Because what if I don't feel like doing that sort of thing on Wednesday when, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think the times when I got the best result that I feel best about it was one particular type of thing and just keep at it until it's done. It's like if I'm writing a book, it's in my mind to finish that thing. So it's like it's flowing around my head. Yeah, if I go for a walk, it'll come in my mind. If I do something else, it'll come back again.
Right.
Yeah. But if I just leave it alone and come back and try and get my head into it for 2 hours once a month, because it's not just the time when you're working that you're working. It's also when you're sleeping that you're working, really. And it's when you're
mm-hmm.
meditating you're working. And it's when you're going into nature. Because when you're on something, your subconscious mind starts focusing on it, right? So
mm-hmm.
if you've got hundreds of things going on all at the same time, then your subconscious mind, the time when you're not actually working, is all over the place. So there's just too much, too much, too much. And then you'll feel drained, probably, yeah? And you won't get a result that way.
No, that's right.
So what is it you're doing?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously, you know, I've got clients, I'm building my business, and there's also my next book that I'm also writing. And
sure.
And then I've got to create my videos and everything like that. Like, it's like, So I think that's where I felt too overwhelmed. It's like, okay, because I have to focus on, I feel like I have to do everything at once. Where I like that shift in mindset that it's like, okay, you don't do anything till that book's done. You don't do anything till your videos are done. I mean, obviously you have to keep your appointments and stuff, but I mean, trying to do 5 different projects a little bit every day is enough to drive me crazy. And then I find that I just don't get anything done because I get overwhelmed and I kind of go, well, screw it. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that this year because I've got a lot of goals that I really want to accomplish this year.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you focus on one thing, so say for example you're doing videos, yeah? It's
mm-hmm.
like, okay, all I'm going to focus on is writing the scripts for the videos. And because the thing is, if you're doing videos and you have to set up the lighting and you want to like do your makeup and all these things, and then you only do one video, yeah? And then it's like
mm-hmm.
that's a waste of time anyway. You might as well do 10 videos.
That's right.
But you can't do 10 videos if you don't know what you're talking about. Otherwise, it'll be pointless. You know,
right.
It's too long. So, yeah, so when you think about it, if you go through this next year, right, and you spend maybe like 2 weeks just on one thing, all I'm going to do is that one thing for 2 weeks, and that's it. And I know I've got a deadline, and by the time it hits, you know, this particular day, all that has to be finished. Then it activates all your power, and it gives you focus, and you'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you're like,
mm-hmm.
all right, in the next month I need to do these 27 things, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, please, yeah, because you don't know where to focus. So what I found most powerful is, you see, it depends on what kind of stuff you're doing. If you're just sustaining what you've created, then you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, different things is probably going to work better because you don't
mm-hmm.
need to do one big project. But when you're focusing on getting particular projects finished, taking a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time is better. And when, let's say, for example, you're working on videos, right? And you start to kind of go all weird and edgy, and you're like, ah, it's too much, I can't handle it, right? That will happen. And you'll be like,
mm-hmm.
I've been doing this all day, yeah. And you go for a walk, and you kind of come back, and you still can't handle it. I like to have, like, another project that is, like, that I'm doing anyway, but I use it as like positive procrastination
right.
for the main project, yeah? So for example, if I'm writing a book and I'm like, you know what, I just can't handle this anymore, then if I start writing part of another book that I've already got started, it feels like a relief
right.
from the one I was doing, but it's also getting work done. But it feels good, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So a little, I used to try and avoid doing stuff like that. It seems like it's not hardcore and like just one thing, but it actually provides a variety, and variety is, you know, it's the spice of life, as they say. So you can allow yourself just a little bit of, I call it positive procrastination, because mm-hmm. it actually inspires you to go back to what you were doing more. To pick big chunks and say, I'm just going to go hardcore on that one thing. And go for it, you know. And realize, you know, this is an important thing to remember, that why are we doing all these things, really? Yeah. It's good to ask, what's our actual motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you think about it, why do we want money? Why do we want things done and all the rest of it? Normally, it's because we want to feel something. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, why do you mm-hmm. want more money? So you feel probably, so you feel more safe, and so that you can feel more at ease and have more fun or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you get to the bottom of it, you don't really want the money. You just want to feel better, and you want certain things. Why do you want the things? So you feel something. Why do you want to finish these projects? You know, so that you feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if we're really, really, really honest with ourselves, we want to feel things more than anything else. So I always like to question my motivation behind stuff and say, what is it that I'm trying to actually experience here by doing this thing? Because if I can just feel better now, right, without spending, you know, 70 hours, you know, doing this thing, this project, right, and all this energy and buying all this equipment, right, and I just feel better now, then I save myself enormous amounts of energy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's wonderful to do service, and it's wonderful to create stuff, and I think creating for the joy of creating is the best place to do it, you know? So when I'm writing and creating, I do it not because I need to feel better, because I actually enjoy doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can get to that state in yourself and in your work, it's a much higher level of service, because you're not doing it to feel better later. You're already feeling good, and you're just coming from your joy, yeah. And that's just such a lovely place to live from.
Yeah, and I actually do feel that with what I'm creating and putting together. I do it because I really love to do it. I think sometimes where I get frustrated is, you know, other life things kind of come up that I don't want to do. And then I get frustrated because it's taken me away from, you know, the stuff that I'm really enjoying.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. So you feel good. So the important thing is that you feel good anyway. And then because you feel good, you wanting to share your good feelings and inspirations with others, so they can feel good.
Yeah.
Which makes you feel good as well. So, it sounds like you're on a very good roll now.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you don't hate all your clients, things are doing better, yeah?
That's true. I do love my clients a lot more.
Yeah.
I really have just... Yeah, like since starting superhero training, I really have shifted in that way, and it feels really good. And every day I am shifting. Like I've just started. I know I'm a little bit ahead of the game, but the Man Above meditations,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really, really enjoying that. And just every day focusing on gratitude and love, and that has really made a huge difference. And then there'll be times where something will come up and I'm not in gratitude and I'm like, oh, and now I can recognize it and bring myself right back into it.
Mm.
Like certain people in my life like to push my buttons, but it's good, good practice and good, you know, good to, you know, stay focused, and it helps me remember. So.
Yeah, it certainly does. And when those things come up, this is what I find helpful, is we will get triggered. Yeah, as long as we're still doing work on ourselves, there's going to be some sort of trigger. And the ego is addicted to its own suffering. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So when we feel bad, if we're honest, if we're really honest with ourselves, what happens is we feel bad, and then we actually enjoy feeling bad on some level, and we get addicted to it, and we kind of feel justified in our bad feelings. You know, like, well, I should be feeling bad because this person is such a bitch or something like that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of justify our bad feeling, and we hold on to it. We start milk it, yeah? Like, we're trying to... It's a bit sick, really, doing that, but at least that's sort of humble that we acknowledge that's happening, right? So what we need to do now, if we're, you know, real deal, and we're actually up for change, is that we feel bad, we acknowledge it, and we say, you know what, I'm getting off on this bad feeling on some level. And so I'm just going to be humble about that and not, you know, sort of deny my twisted madness. And I'm willing to let this go. I'm just going to surrender it to God, surrender it to the light. So here's this bad feeling. It's come up. And I'm going to let it go. And you just, I like to think of it as like a dark light. That's how I sort of visualize it. This sort of energy, and I just offer it up like I'm lifting a gift up above my head and just saying, okay, there you go, it's gone. And I do that a few times and it disappears, and then all this joy bubbles up underneath that was already there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and literally only takes about 3 seconds to do. Super easy. But what reason that most people don't do anything near that is because they don't recognize they're addicted to suffering. And they don't let it go. So it's actually very, very easy, straightforward method. It just requires the willingness to do it, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So especially Christmas and holiday season, when there's potential for, you know, family and extra triggers in many cases. Yeah, it's a good opportunity.
Yeah. But it does feel good when I know that when I've done it, whereas I've gotten all freaked out about something and then kind of went, nope, just remind, forgive, release, and did that visualization, and it takes you right back to that blissful feeling. It's like, well, why wouldn't I want to be in that feeling all the time? Because the other feeling is not good. So it's nice to start feeling like I'm getting away from that addiction to misery.
Uh-huh.
Right? I'm getting more addicted to the feeling good feelings that just let it go. It doesn't matter. Let it go. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, everything will be okay. Everything will work out fine.
Yeah. Feeling bad doesn't make things better.
No.
That's the, I don't know, I think on some strange level, we think feeling bad somehow does make it better. I don't know why we think that, really, but it's not true, and it certainly doesn't work. So, yeah, it's very simple. Are you willing to give up suffering?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, really. So if you do your big chunks of success, having a date is good.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when we set dates, it does something to our mind and our energy. Yeah. If you,
mm-hmm.
like, for example, I have to finish this thing today, yeah, or tomorrow, then all of a sudden we feel activated.
Mm-hmm.
If we say to ourselves, I need to finish this thing at some point in my life, yeah,
right.
Then, you know, there's no activation, there's no, the switch doesn't get turned on, yeah, the kind of motivation switch isn't there. So having dates, and also dates for our personal change, you know, if we think I'll start having a higher consciousness at some point, then, you know, that's also not likely to happen. But if it's like, no, I need to actually start feeling better as of, like, the 15th of the month, you know, if
mm-hmm.
not sooner, you know. I want to wake up feeling inspired, fully and excited at that point, yeah, and it sets us up for success. So having dates makes a huge difference. Especially for projects, it's very easy, tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, okay, all my videos need to be done by this date. All this stuff has to be finished by this date. My book needs to be published. One of the good things about Amazon, I've found, is that you can set up pre-orders, so you actually have to publish it.
That's right.
So you say, yeah, that's quite a good little thing. Any time you can do something like that in various ways, like if people make pre-orders for anything, then you have to produce it, even if it's not there when they start.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the more you can set yourself up for deadlines that you can't get out of, your level of motivation and ability to make it happen just radically increases.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no deadline and there's no accountability and there's no one else involved, it might never happen.
That's right.
Because there's always something else. So that's a key, by the way, to everyone listening to this. You know, if you set situations up where you can't wiggle your way out of it, you've done yourself a favor. Yeah, like for example, if I want to do more meditation, all I need to do is say, all right, I'm having meditation at my house every evening at 6 o'clock or something. And now I have to do it at 6 o'clock because there's people coming around. Yeah. So I can't say that there's something going on and then not show up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if no one's here, then I could be like, oh, it's clock, doesn't matter, I'm going to do something else. But if there's a bunch of people at the door wanting to get in, then I have to get it together. So we can use those external factors to support us, making it way, way, way easier. So the resistance drops as the accountability increases. So
mm-hmm.
set yourself up for a large amount of those things, and you'll find that all of a sudden you're unstoppable.
Okay, I will.
Good. Looking forward to what you come up with.
Mm-hmm.
This next little while, yeah? It's amazing what you can do when you're focused, and you focus on one thing. And to just really realize the power of those deadlines, because if you don't have them, by the way, things can drag out way, way, way longer than you expect to.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. And the 80-20 principle is that, you know, only 20% of what we do actually gets the result. In fact, I'm going to recommend everyone reads one of my new books, which I think is extremely important for all superheroes. It's called, I might change the title actually, but at the moment, if you go on Amazon, it's called The Golden Life. Yeah, The Golden Life. It's how to do less and achieve way, way, way more. Basically, it's how to get 4 times worth of work done in a year and work less. So, and it is a very practical book, you know, very detailed, practical, like, help you think differently about what you're doing so that you can basically save yourself huge amounts of wasted time and get way more impact easier. So I recommend getting that. I'm happy to send it to anyone who wants it, but if you have a Kindle or something, get on Amazon. And it'll be extremely helpful. Less, do less, achieve more, basically. What are the few things that really work? And just do those. And everything else, just cancel it. As if it's just cluttering up your energy. So, have a beautiful next few days. Get ready for the new year. Really take advantage of this new year energy. And I recommend spending the rest of this month, you know, getting clear on your visions, on what's important to you and what's got to go. Because remember, like I said at the beginning, clearing things out of your life is often even more powerful than adding things to your life. Okay, so just take that away with you, that doing less stuff is actually oftentimes better than adding anything new. So keep focusing on less. We're already beautiful, pure beings anyway, just the extra stuff that's cluttering it all up. So what can you get rid of physically? What relationships don't serve you? What behaviors are not serving you? What thoughts are not serving you? What isn't working for you? Just use this opportunity just the next few days just to find out what that is. Clear it all out so that you can start fresh. Yeah, like imagine like moving into a new, beautiful new home, and you're choosing every piece of furniture and everything that comes into your house very carefully, making sure that everything's the best ever. To have that attitude about your new year, everything's got to be the best ever, otherwise it's out. Wonderful. So let's just take a few breaths. Just holding the vision of your new year. See yourself as completely free and liberated. Doing less, being in your flow, in the zone. Super effective, graceful, joyful. Everything's easy. Everything you do turns to gold. You love what you do. Other people love what you do. And every week that goes past, a big upgrade occurs on some level. Big shift. And you go to sleep at night feeling warm and happy, satisfied that you're using your life in the most beautiful way. You love yourself. You love your life. And you're free. Just breathing that in. Wonderful. Sending you so much love from Kauai. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful next few days. Until Tuesday. Aloha.